right, and so coming up in a bit is the exclusive interview with our guest this evening, first female cardiothoracic surgeon in Ghana, Dr. Penelope Tete Adinku. Still live on 99.7 FM. And we're getting ready to have our conversation. Alright, and so she is on the line. Good evening to you, Dr. Penelope Tete Adinku.
Good evening to you, and good evening to your cherished listeners.
All right, so welcome to 123.99.7 FM Radio for distinguished listeners up here in Tamale in the Northern Region.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right. I trust you are doing very well.
I'm doing very, very well.
All right. I'm doing great by His kind grace. Okay. So how do you feel about, you know, being labeled the first cardiothoracic surgeon in Ghana? How does it feel, the tag as the first person?
Well, it feels very good. It feels good. It's still sinking in, but the feeling is
okay. All right, a lady of few words, I can imagine.
Yes.
All right. So, it's in order to say congratulations to you. And on that note, I would want you to kindly share with us your journey to becoming a surgeon right from high school.
Okay. That's fine. I attended Wesley Girls High School.
Wege.
Yes. Lift your true right, wrong, and follow the king. That's our motto.
That's right.
And then from there, I pursued medicine at the School of Medical Sciences, KNUST.
Okay.
For 6 years. After which, I did 2 years of housemanship here at 37th Military Hospital. And 1 year at Ridge Hospital, now Greater Regional Hospital.
Yeah.
So my housemanship was completed. I have to Kolebu Teaching Hospital.
Hello, Doc. Could you kindly position yourself? Well, we are losing you at points in time.
Okay, that's fine.
I think it's much better now.
Turn on.
Yes, please.
Okay, so after my housemanship, I applied to Kolebu Teaching Hospital to become a medical officer, and that was for another 2 years. So after that was completed, I now started my specialization in surgery. So I did 3 years in general surgery and 4 years in cardiothoracic surgery.
Okay. All right, once you mentioned Wesley Girls Senior High School, I want you to kindly tell us about life in the right from you. How was the feeling even getting to a very notable institution like Wege? How was the feeling, and how did you adjust, and how did you come out of the mill or go through the mill very well to become who you are today?
Okay, I felt very privileged to attend Wesley Girls. It's one of the best schools in the country, and I enjoyed my stay there. I had My elder sister had already paved the way for me. She was quite like, so when I went there, there were quite a number of people looking out for me. And academically, I did very well there also. My stay there was very enjoyable.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's quite a very brief one and very concise as well. But I want to ask, why cardiothoracic surgery?
Well, I in my housemanship days when I heard of Puffin Paul Martin, that he had established, he had gone against odds to establish the National Cardiothoracic Center. Mm-hmm. And I heard of the good work they were doing the open heart surgeries. And I got intrigued. So I started making inquiries and more about what they do at the center. And also, I liked of fixing the hearts of little children who had heart defects or hole in heart conditions. So that's what motivated me to join the center and pursue cardiothoracic surgery.
Okay, that's a very nice one and a very brave step right there. You know, over the weekend, social media couldn't actually keep calm after, you know, the good news about you being the first female cardiothoracic surgeon emerged. And it was one spectacular event for us. And I just couldn't help, you know, to find out more. And actually, one of my good friends, Dr. Captain Fodjo, actually shared a post about you, and I decided I'll follow up and make inquiries and see how best we can get to interact and also let the Northern Ghana also know more about you. So what is the male to female, you know, ratio during your residency? How was it?
Okay, so during my first 3 years in general surgery, I was the only female resident for Kolebu Teaching Hospital. The rest were all males, so it was one female, about ten males. Mm-hmm. And then for cardiothoracic surgery, that was for 4 years. I was the only female among maybe at the time 7 males. So that's
okay. All right. Well noted. So, were you actually affected by, you know, the gender stereotypes and the biases and all of that? Could you be frank on that?
Well, yes. It is a male-dominated field, and males were generally accepted to be the surgeons. For us as females, that's me and my bosses who passed through surgery. I think we have had to work harder to prove ourselves. So the bias is there, and we've had to work harder to make ourselves more visible.
Okay. So,
and sometimes when I'm working with my husband, who is not a doctor, have a stethoscope around my neck, but he's referred to as the doctor, and I'm just ignored. So the bias is out there. I'm hoping that with this barrier out of the way, more females will come into this space, and it will actually now start becoming a norm.
Well noted. But do you actually think, you know, gender roles affect career advancement among women so much?
Can you take that again?
I said, do you actually think gender roles affect, you know, career advancement among women?
I think gender roles affect advancement among women.
Yeah, career advancement among women, I mean.
Yes, generally I do. I think males are seen in a to be in leadership positions as doctors. Males are generally the surgeons. It's hard for people to see females as surgeons. So I mean, the, like I mentioned earlier, the bias is there. Traditionally, people feel that women should be at home taking care of the house, the husband, the children, but in this 21st century, women are pushing the boundaries, occupying spaces that were traditionally reserved for men. And I think that we are doing a very good job at it. And I encourage women to keep going forward,
That's true. Okay, so that could be dovetailed into my next question, actually. You are now a very prominent role model to most of the ladies. What's the window of opportunity for African girls, ladies out there who are listening probably, who wish to pursue medicine and actually specialize in, you know, making or getting into such disciplines, male-dominated disciplines, precisely?
Okay, so I'll say it is very, very possible. It's been done. And I would really encourage females out there to pursue their dreams, whatever the dream is. I would ask them to keep going for it. I mean, it takes a lot of commitment, dedication, and a lot of hard work to achieve one's dream. But with these qualities, it is very possible. And with God, all things are possible. There are times that they may feel discouraged. They may ask the question, can I do it? Will I do it? Can I make it? But yes, they can make it. They should just keep daring, keep working hard, keep trusting God, and they will be excellent. They will excel at whatever they put their hearts to do.
Okay, great submission right there. And I'm sure you growing up and even trying to venture into this area, you looked up to certain people. Have you got any mentor that really inspired you in getting where you've gotten today?
Yes, I do.
Who is that mentor? We would want to know.
Sorry?
We'll be glad to know who that mentor is.
Well, I have a couple of them.
Oh, okay.
Yes. My big sister, Dr. and Mrs. Gracie Melda Obinit, is one of such people.
Oh, nice.
She's a strong woman. She's counseled me. She's been there. And I'm grateful for her presence in my life. In general surgery, I met two wonderful women, Dr. Antoinette Bowen, Dr. Josephine Nsafo, who adopted me as their little sister, giving me advice here and there and coaching me, motivating me to go forward. And I really appreciate them in my life. For cardiothoracic surgery, I have to acknowledge my father in cardiothoracic surgery, Dr. Lawrence Sabo, who is our director, for accepting me into the fold and for mentoring me, teaching me, being there for me.
Okay, all right. So you've got a couple of them. We are most grateful to them wherever they are. So how did they take this news? How did they welcome this great feat?
Oh, well, they were
very...
Were they
surprised?
Were they?
Were they too surprised or they could tell clearly
no.
that...
Yes, so they were not surprised. My bosses were there for the completion of the exam process, Prof. T.T., Prof. Edwin. They were not surprised, but very happy. They showed a lot of joy when the results came out. My family was very excited. Hassan was there when the results were announced.
Okay.
Dr. Bowen, Dr. Nsafo, they called me up and congratulated me. Yes, I think a lot of people were very happy about the outcome.
Okay, so would want to have that picture. How was the feeling, you know, when you were merged, you know, you attained this height? What was running through your mind at that particular moment?
Well,
how was the feeling?
She really was very elated, very excited, because it's been a long journey, a tired one. I was happy to have come to the end of it, of that particular journey. I couldn't sleep the whole night, actually.
Wow.
Yes.
Nice one. So we've been having conversations around your profession and all of that. We would want to, one of the purposes of this interview is basically to bring Doc to the doorsteps of people. We here to know you more. Who actually is Dr. Adinku?
Okay, so I'm Penelope Babatete Adinku. I'm currently a cardiothoracic surgeon at the National Cardiothoracic Center, Kolebu Teaching Hospital. Mr. and Mrs. Ambos Tete, and I have three sisters, Jude Eoku Bekwin, Grace Imelda Obinyeji, and Audrey Jacqueline Tete. I am married to a wonderful man, Reverend Ernest Adinku.
Oh, what's up for you?
Yes, that's true.
Nice one. We'll take time and celebrate that wonderful man in a bit.
Okay, that'll be wonderful. My hobbies, I like reading, I like lying in bed and watching series. That's when there's time to do that. I enjoy banku and okra stew, banku and tilapia.
Can you cook them well yourself?
Yes, very, very well.
Oh, great. Okay,
yes.
So looking at you growing up, I could tell you were a very bright and serious student. At that tender age, did you have any time for leisure? How was your social life like?
Okay.
Were you present at intercolleges and all of that, back home, the aviation and all those events? Were you part and parcel of them?
Or you were
a bit of an auntie, so you were always by your books, lying in bed and just by yourself. How was life like growing up?
Okay, so growing up, I liked reading a lot. So I had novels. My parents were always buying me novels. But I liked dancing, so I was doing choreography.
Oh, really?
So I joined, yes, a number of choreography groups in my fellowship. In school, I was in a number of choreography groups. So, that's what I like. I enjoyed it a lot.
Great. All right. So, nice to know. Thanks for sharing your personal or private life with us. And I want us to get into areas of, you know, your input into governance, probably. What measures should stakeholders, I know you've gone through it, what measures do you think stakeholders in education should put in place to actually encourage more females to venture in, you know, STEM education?
I believe that there should be more programs, outreaches, which will bring on board notable females in the country to reach, especially in the junior high schools, in the senior high schools, before they get to the university stage, to help them realize that it's good to have dreams, and those achievable, and we can become role models and give them career counseling also, so that even before they pursue life-changing courses at the university, they will have their foundations or their basics right, and on from there. Also, there should be more intake, for less privileged and brilliant students into the senior high schools with scholarships. To this will promote this will promote them getting into fields that they want to pursue, for example, medicine, or going into law, or pharmacy, or engineering. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a long way to promote female or champion female education in the country.
Okay, all right. And I think that's very comprehensive. And so what are your plans onwards? Is this actually the limit? Is this where you aimed to get to? Do you feel very fulfilled, satisfied at this point?
Okay, so this is not the limit. I, as at this moment, I joined formally the National Cardiothoracic Center as a specialist. But then there are opportunities to gain experience outside and come back home to system. So one step at a time.
Okay. All right. And so in a world, just to, wrap up this conversation, in a world, without the study of medicine, what would Dr. Penelope Adinku be doing, or would rather be?
In a world without medicine?
Yes, in a world. In a world without the study of medicine, actually, what you would you rather be?
Probably a full-time minister for God.
Okay, you want to follow the path of your husband?
Yes.
Okay, that brings to mind your name, the name of our lovely husband who we are so proud of and would even love to, get into his fraternity. Let's celebrate. Let's have the spotlight on our husband this evening here.
So he's Reverend Ernest Adinku.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Reverend Ernest Adinku.
Yes.
Okay.
He's the head pastor of SAVE Community. And a very, very wonderful...
The name of the church again. It looks as if the line was breaking, please. Could you kindly take that again?
Okay, so he's Reverend Ernest Adinku.
Okay.
Yes, he's the head pastor of SAVE Community Chapel. Mm-hmm. And he is a wonderful, wonderful husband.
Oh, okay. So did you marry him before he getting into his pastoral role? Or,
it yes, was... I did.
Oh, okay.
Then we got married before he became a pastor and before I started surgery.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you embraced that angle so heartedly.
Yes, we did.
Okay. May the good Lord sail you through that journey and that of yours successfully as well. Any message before we wrap up to our youngsters out there? Drive 123 has most of its audience as, young people who would also want to aspire to greater heights, just as you have done. Any message for us in general?
Okay, so I want to encourage them to pursue their dream. They should work hard. They never give up. Hard work, dedication, commitment are characteristics that they need. They should keep going, keep persevering. They can make it.
All right. Okay. Thank you. What music do you enjoy listening the most? So we just sign out this interview with.
Okay, so I listen to gospel music and my favorite artist, Hillsong. But locally, I don't know.
We didn't get your favorite artist. I think the line still keeps.
Okay, so Hillsong is my favorite. But locally, I think for this season, Adum by Dinah Hamilton.
Dinah.
He's resonating with me.
Okay, Dinah Entry Hamilton.
Yes, Adum. Exactly.
Could you help us with a line or two? I can see you have that spiritual, you know, religious side so well. Could you kindly help us with a line or two in there? I know you are good at opening hearts. Let's see how best you are at vocals.
Okay. I don't.
I think you'll be better opening hearts.
Yes.
Obiani Nejima. What languages do you speak?
So apart from English, I speak Fanti and Chi.
Okay. All right. So have you made a trip to Tamale North in Ghana before?
Not yet. But I would love to.
Okay. How soon should, you know, people look forward to you sharing your flyer? I saw people sharing so much interest, the likes of Professor Terry Ansah, the dean actually of the medical school, Professor Stephen Tebri. I know they are all tuned in, and I'm sure it will be a good time spending some time here in Tamale or Northern region. At least it's a very beautiful place you're gonna love so well. So how soon should we look forward to Dr. Tete Adinkpo?
Very soon. Very soon.
Okay.
We'll look into it.
Well noted. All right. We'll be glad to also receive you here in Tamale. All right. So on this note, we would want to say a very big thank you. 123.99.7 FM. We say a big thank you for accepting to have a conversation with us this evening.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Anytime. So we'll wish you the very best, a very rewarding career, and may the good Lord sail you through and keep you safe. Our best regards to our lovely husband and the rest of the family as well.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Have a pleasant one too, Doc.
All right.
Bye for now. All right, so we've got barely 26 more minutes. So at the top of the hour, 5 p.m. Don't forget, at 5, we're going to check out of here, Make Way for Town Hall Talk.